Self-care, bad bitch. I'm a villain. I'm a villain. Out of office email. Say zero fucks. Self-care, bad bitch. I'm a villain. I'm a villain. Out of office email. Say zero fucks. You asked me to work late, but I'm all done. Off the clock, punched out, time for fun. You asked me where I'm going, so I tell you the truth. Jimmy boy, I'm going to his red bus.
Kind regards, that's wishing.
Hey, shit.
Yours truly is unsaid.
This bitch. I'm different now, Jimmy, I'm in my power. I respond to your email at a reasonable hour. At a reasonable hour. At a reasonable hour. Self-care, bad bitch, I'm a villain, I'm a villain, out of office email, saying zero fucks. Self-care, bad bitch, I'm a villain, I'm a villain, out of office email, saying zero fucks.
dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone.
Every night I'll
make break. Dream lover will come my way. Soon I'll hold in my arms. Feel the magic undertone. Cause I want someone to call my own. Want a dream lover so I don't have to dream alone. Dream lover, where are you? With the love of love so true.
Thank you.
Oh, the lovely Janet Kay.
That was nice. I like Janet Kay. Yeah. I like Janet Kay.
So I first, I mean, this song came out in like the late 60s, early 70s, nice. But I watched the, there was a series of short films about black culture on, I think it was Netflix, and this one was about a rocksteady community in London.
Nice.
And it was the first time I heard this song, and I was like, oh my god.
Nice.
No, it's beautiful.
This is lovely.
It's and it's a whole it's called Lover's Rock, the
Lover's
style.
Rock. Oh.
And it is a subgenre of reggae.
What's the name of the song again?
Silly Games.
Silly Games, okay. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, so we heard let's see if I can call it up from thin air. We heard Second to None by the Avengers, San Francisco punk rock band fronted by Penelope Houston that opened for the Sex Pistols when the Sex Pistols played Winterland and put on a better show.
Oh.
Because wow. The Sex Pistols didn't survive their show at Winterland.
What? They're texted. I'm like, what?
Yeah, the Sex Pistols played at Winterland, a former venue here in San Francisco,
and
Avengers opened for them, and I think they played three songs,
and
broke up on stage.
Oh my god, how dramatic!
And well, I think.
I love that. Well, you don't want to experience it, but it's incredible to watch.
Yeah. But Johnny Rotten said, like, basically they stopped playing, and then Johnny Rotten said into the mic, "You ever feel like you've been cheated?"
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it was poetry, really.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like, I mean, hand it to him to make it into an iconic moment in rock history.
A band breaking up on stage is absolutely devastating. I mean, it's actually emotionally devastating. It's really, really bad.
I think the punters who paid, you know, $9 to go to that show were disappointed.
No, are you kidding me? Like, that show was worth a lot more than fucking that. Because, I mean, it's also, like, that's front stage to somebody's, you know, heartbreak. And
right.
It seems scummy to say that it's worth money, but it's you're never going to get closer to anybody, other than that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, so it's scummy to say it out loud like that. But I'm just on the band side, it's devastating and sad.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, you just got to look into somebody's soul.
Yeah. And well, I mean, the Smiths.
It's rough.
The Smiths and Suede blew up. Broke up as a result of, like, the bands found out via the music press.
No. Oh, that's fucked up. I mean, shit. It's crazy how much being in a band... Well, being in a band is being in a relationship, period. Like, there's no fucking separation. There's no distinction. There's no qualifier. It is being in a relationship. And when a band breaks up, it is a heartbreak.
Yeah, and music is also a... Like, we don't really talk about it because it's so normative to our lives, and everybody who listens to music, even if they don't care about music much, it just connects to a part of their brain they don't think about.
Music is physical. Music is touching your fucking body and your vessels and your blood and the rhythm of your fucking heart. It's touching
everything.
It's
part of being human is what music
is.
There's
some people that somehow don't connect to it, and I've never... fucking, you know, befriended one, but but, you know, there's some people that connect to humanity in different ways, for absolutely sure. There's a lot, there's a large part of the population that, like, connects to music loosely, and that's cool, that's fine. And then there's,
they don't all have to be obsessed as we are.
Exactly. There's other ways to connect to humanity, of course, but music, I mean, like, honestly, every friend that I have is plugged into it. Every friend that I have is physically connected to music, and it'll kill them, or it'll help them live longer. And it's I was gonna say proud, but I guess I'm not. But it's just, that's just what it is. That's the people that we are, and if I am aware that I'm sounding elitist right now, and I've got my fucking hands on my fucking, like, you know, waist right now, like a power pose, because I don't give a fuck. Ooh, your mic is turned off. Check the cables. You're not coming through.
Oh my god!
There you are. There you are.
Something got.
There you go. There you go.
Something got disconnected.
All right. So I was talking about being an elitist, and you were going to say what?
I was going to say that. You know, we are most fortunate to have
it's a privilege. It's musical a fucking connection. Privilege.
Yeah, I mean, because I feel like it's something. You know, my family, my immediate family that I grew up with, there was not. Music was not a huge part of it.
Neither was it with mine, actually.
I was the weirdo that, like, collected records and went to concerts. Like,
I was the different one. I mean, with my family, music is a huge element. For those of you who don't know me, I am Mexican. And so, like, music is a big part of the parties. But it's also, like, very, like, even though it's a big part of the parties and, like, music is everywhere, it's so interesting how, like, it could be in every one of your parties, and by that I mean, like, you're hiring a live band. You're hiring either a trio or maybe a slightly larger one if you're having a bigger party. And we're talking, like, baptisms, we're talking birthdays,
right?
We're talking family reunions. We're not talking, like, weddings for sure. I'm just saying, like, even the smaller parties get live music,
right?
Or you get, like, a sound system, music's always going, it's banda music, it's that shit, right? But in terms of, like, I'm going to put my headphones on and I'm going to connect to this music every day. And, you know, like, my mom, like any Mexican mom, was, like, always cleaning on Saturdays and Sundays. She didn't put on music, actually. Like, that wasn't a thing for her.
Wow.
Which is fine.
No, of course. But
that's also, like, a thing where people are like, oh, my mom would put on the music on Mondays, and that's what you know was cleaning time. That actually sounds really sweet. But she wasn't one of those ladies, and that's cool. But I was the one that was like, yeah, like, I would put on headphones, and, like, music would, like, take me somewhere else. And also, it would take me, like, into different cultures where, like, I was obsessed with Elvis when I was fucking
Elvis,
10.
Elvis, man.
I saw a picture in a magazine.
Little less conversation,
oh,
a little more
God.
Action.
Dear Lord. Yep. And so I've been pretty obsessed with white music and black music and on top of, like, my Mexican music. So it's like it's a little different than, like, my family. But you were saying, like, you were also, like, the one-off.
Well, no, I mean I'm, like, basically suburban white jerk, you know, and we would never have a party with music. Like, with
oh,
the family,
wow. Okay.
Never, ever have a party with music. That started with me. But my parents had records. And my dad liked nice. Military marches. And my mom liked Helen Reddy and John Denver. But when I was... when I started listening to music, I discovered a copy of Rubber Soul by the Beatles in the stacks. You know, they had a small stack of records. And also Billie Holiday was in there.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
And I put on the Rubber Soul, and I knew all the words to that album. Because I knew it by heart. Because my sister, it was a gift from her best friend. And she played it all the time for a little while. And when I was like 4 years old. And so when I put it on when I was 10 or 12... I knew it already, and that was really eerie, but it's still my favorite album by the
wonderful.
Beatles because of that. But, you know, I was going on that journey on my own because my parents really didn't care.
Yeah, same. I mean, I when I was a kid, I remember I was really drawn to classical music, and it's funny because I was a difficult child, I guess you could say. I would always...
You're amazing.
Thank you. I would climb fences and, like,
dig
oh my holes.
God.
And basically, not a child you could rely on in terms of, like, don't fucking break out of the house. And I remember, like, listening to classical music. I remember this one time where we were in this junkyard that my dad had driven us to because he had to do some business about getting some parts because my dad was an auto mechanic. And so my mom and I were in this car, in this fucking hot-ass car in, you know, Phoenix, Arizona. And she's just trying to keep me entertained, and she's, like, flipping through channels in the radio. and she found like this classical music station, and I was literally bouncing, like I was jumping up and down in the back cabin of the truck. And when she put on this, like, you know, music, it was piano, classical music, and I, like, all of a sudden, like, I sat down, and I was like, what is this? And then she was like, oh my God, something's fucking working. And then she got me into piano lessons, and so I got into that, and then I got into, like, you know, Elvis-style, you know, rock and roll when I was, like, 10 or whatever, and then, because that was available, because that's the other thing, it's what's available, right? So this is, what, 1980s, late 80s.
There's nothing wrong with Elvis.
Yeah, there's nothing fucking wrong with it. I mean, no. There was a lot wrong with Elvis.
No.
There's nothing wrong with the Elvis, with the music Elvis made. Elvis made, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Elvis's music, I guess.
There we go. That's what we should say. We should qualify.
His life, challenging. His music, yeah. Amazing.
Yes. And so, but that's the thing where, like, I didn't listen to punk rock until I think I was, like, 19. And that's really late to have your punk rock awakening. Usually you have it at, like, 13, 14.